Matthew chapter 28. Appreciate everybody who was at the nursing home this afternoon. It's encouragement. I know it was encouragement to me, and I know it was encouragement to Brother Bima, and everybody come on out and support us and try to help out best you can. And I know it really encouraged me to see more people out today. And I really, going to the nursing home, some of you endured some preaching for me while I was there, and then some of you came back still tonight, and you're going to get a double dose. So, I mean, I appreciate your diligence to come and hear me again. But I really pray for those people at the nursing home. I really, a lot of them are Christians, and some of them, I don't know if they're lost or not. And sometimes you go there and you preach, and you don't know if you did anything. You don't know if the Lord did anything there. It's not a whole lot of reaction, but just pray that the Lord use it. And I was talking to Brother Beeman this afternoon. He was telling me stories about how a lot of things have happened that nobody even knew what was going on there. And so the Lord can use His Word. His Word will not return void. So just pray for that ministry. It's a good ministry, and the Lord, I think, really blesses it and uses it. So keep that in your prayers. Matthew chapter 28, begin in verse 1. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, the Bible says this, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him." Brother Chad, would you pray for me this morning? Or this afternoon? Amen. Amen. Chapter 28, very familiar passage. It's after Jesus is risen from the dead. And the Lord showed me some things, especially in verse 9, where it says, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him." You know, I always wonder why they did that, why they came and held him by the feet. I've heard people say that, some people say that he was not even walking. He's risen above the ground, so they grabbed him by the feet. Some people say it's because they didn't want to touch him because he hadn't ascended to the Father. But, you know, in a more kind of a spiritual application, you know, I wonder why they, the reason I think that they grabbed his feet was because I think that's where all Christians need to be. I think as a Christian, you need to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know, I wonder how many lives of Christians would be better if they spent more time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Instead of running around doing their own thing, coming to the feet of Jesus Christ. How much better would this world be if it came to the feet of Jesus Christ and asked Jesus Christ for wisdom and power? And went through, and how much better this world would be. My son David told me one time, he came up to me and says, "Daddy, if everyone would just get saved, it'd be great." Amen. If everyone would just get saved and receive Jesus Christ, I mean, can you imagine how much better this world would be? But we as Christians, what I want to talk to you about tonight is the feet of Jesus Christ. And you know what we need to do? We need to come to the feet of Jesus. Nobody came to the feet of Jesus and walked away disappointed. Never have you come to the feet of Jesus Christ and said, "Man, I wish I just wasted my time." Every time you come there, and it doesn't matter what point of life or what you're going on in your life, what point you're at in your life, come to the feet of Jesus Christ is the best thing you can be, the best place you can be. Sometimes I'll be sitting in my living room, and I'll be sitting on my couch, and we have our lab, our truck lab, Shiloh. She'll come in there, and she's a pretty good dog. She'll play with you when you want to play with her, and sometimes she minds her own business. But sometimes she gets a little needy, and she wants some attention. And when she wants attention, what she'll do is she'll come up, and I'll be sitting there on the couch, and she'll come up, and she'll roll, and she'll lay on my feet. And she'll look up at me. She's saying, "I want some attention. I want to be pet." And you know what Christians need to do sometimes? You need to walk up and go to the feet of Jesus Christ and look up at him and say, "Lord, I need some attention. Lord, I need to talk to you." You know, I wonder how many people, if they just, no matter what you're going through tonight or what you're going with on your heart, if you would just stop and quit trying to figure it out and quit trying to go this way or that way. Well, if I can just do this and put this here, and do, you know, just stop and just go and just say, I'm going to stop at the feet of Jesus Christ and I'm going to ask Him before I go any farther. He said, well, I've already made some mistakes. Don't matter. Stop. Just get at the feet of Jesus Christ, get down there and say, Lord, I need help. I need You. And you'd be surprised what the Lord will do in your life. I don't know how many times in my life, you know, that I've come down. I mean, so many things going on. You got this going on. You got ministries going on. You got your family going on. You got work going on. You got this. You got financial. You got different things going on all at the same time. Sometimes it just seems like so much pressure on you all at one time. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. You're all right there and you're all bogged down. You ever just feel like, you just can't even figure out which way to go sometimes. And sometimes what you need to do is just get down at the feet of Jesus Christ. I mean, sometimes I just get down and say, Lord, I don't know how to go far. I can't handle this. I need Your help. And there's just something about it. You know, it's not like the sky splits open. It's not like angels start dancing around the room or anything like that. It's just like all of a sudden, man, it's just like a spirit comes in there and all of a sudden it's like a pressure just being released. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know how many times. And you know, what's funny is when you're agitated and you're all, it's like the last thing you want to do is get down on your knees and pray. The last thing you want to do is get down. You know what? You know what, Lord, I'm going to pray. And you get down like this. All right, Lord, I'm praying. And you sit there and you keep doing it for a little, and all of a sudden it's like, and He'll start talking to you. You know what more Christians need to do? You need to get to the feet of Jesus Christ. You know what they did in that passage? They got at the feet of Jesus Christ. So many people say, you know, when I get up to heaven, I'm going to go up and give Jesus Christ a big hug. I think we're all going to drop to our knees. I want to grab them by the feet. You know what, Christian, you need? You need to come to Jesus' feet. You need to come down and ask Him to help you with whatever's going on in your life tonight. I don't know what's going on, and I'm sure we're all made of the same stuff. Some of you got some stuff going on. Some of you got too much stuff going on. Some of you don't have enough going on. You don't know exactly what you're supposed to do yet. Just get down at the feet of Jesus Christ, ask Him. Some of you already got it figured out. I said, don't worry, brother, I already got it taken care of. Do you? I thought that too. Well, see, all that's going to happen is this is going to work out like this, and then this and this and this will happen. It doesn't work like that. I found out long enough, I've been saved long enough to know life doesn't always work out like that. You know, sometimes we think as God, if people, preachers will preach that if you do this plus this, God will equal this. And that's not how it works. Sometimes you try to put God in a box and say, well, if we turn Him this way, it'll turn out like this. If we turn it this way, this is how He'll react. You don't know how God's going to react necessarily. God can't be put in a box. God deals with everybody in here a different way, in different situations. And the only way you're going to get any clarity is if you come to the feet of Jesus Christ. Because you know something, what happened and worked for that brother or that sister over there is not going to work for you. He's got something else for you. And how do you get to know that unless you get at His feet? I'm going to talk to you real quickly tonight about a couple of things and some reasons why you need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 37. The first reason I want you should come to the feet of Jesus Christ is for forgiveness. Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 37. Actually, we'll start in verse 36. Luke 7, verse 36. The Bible says, and one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at His feet behind Him weeping and began to wash His feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed His feet and anointed them with ointment. The first reason you should come to the feet of Jesus Christ is for forgiveness. Listen, I kind of preached on this a little bit Wednesday night, but you know, we all mess up, and sometimes we all make mistakes. But the problem is that sometimes a Christian will justify it in his heart or her heart and think it's okay, it's not that big a deal. And sometimes what you need to do is just get it right with God. You can't move any farther in your Christian life till you get it right. You can fake it. You can pretend. You can pretend you're doing something for God, but you're not doing anything, and God's not blessing it because you haven't got it right, no matter how small it is. You know, there have been times in my life where I thought, hey, I'm doing something great for God. I'm doing this. And it seems like God's doing things, but in my heart, I knew there was something He was dealing with me about, and I kept ignoring it. And I kept saying, it's not that big a deal. I'll deal with it later. I'll deal with it later. I'll deal with it later. And it just seemed like I just could not get that oomph, you know, to go do whatever God wanted me to do. And I didn't know what it was. And, man, I remember one night, and I'm not going to tell you the whole situation. I went out in my yard, and I just broke down, and I just told the Lord, Lord, I'm wrong. Some of you say, well, I know if I'm wrong, I'll tell the Lord. You know, we'll tell him we're wrong about some things, but there's some things we'll hold back on. Because inside we're like, just, Lord, you don't understand. He understands. But you still need to get it right. I stood out there, I said, Lord, you know what? And I just told him the whole thing. It was in my heart. And you know what? When I got done with that, you know what? I was like, oh man. And so the Lord's like, okay. Now we can start doing some business. Now we can start having some fellowship. And it just like all of a sudden the whole perspective on things changed. And I knew I was right with God. And I know everyone in here has been to the same stuff. You know what you need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ for? It's for forgiveness. If you're saved in here, the only way you're going to keep your relationship right with God is to keep asking for forgiveness when you fail. Get down at His feet and ask Him to forgive you. If you're in here tonight and you're lost, I don't know everybody's heart here, but if you're lost, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get down at His feet. And you need to say, Lord, forgive me for being a sinner and save my soul. I had to do that in Greece when I was in the military. It goes for everyone. There's got to come a point in your life where you come down to the feet of Jesus Christ and humble yourself. You have to come to the feet of Jesus Christ for forgiveness. I remember one time one of my boys, he had done something wrong, and he knew he'd done something wrong, and I said, go up to your room. I'll be up there in a minute. And he went up there, and I don't like punishing my kids. I know it's necessary. I hate it. I don't like it. But I knew it was necessary. And he went up there, and I came up there, finally went up to his room, and I got up there, and I was getting ready to punish him, and he started crying, you know, which, you know, we all do. And he started crying. And know what he said? He said, Dad, I messed up. Pray for me. All right. I'll pray for you. Better not do it again. And he was. You could tell it wasn't just I want out of trouble. He was under conviction. He knew he'd done it wrong. He never did it again. You know what? It came clean. There's something about that. When you come to the Father, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you get down at His feet. And you know, you don't know what's coming. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And maybe something's coming because you won't get it right and God's going to do something in your life to be a little bit of a whooping. And right before that whooping comes, you get down on your feet and say, Lord, please forgive me. I messed up. Well, I forgive you. And you don't know what you just avoided. And when you need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ for forgiveness, I'm sure we're all made of, like I said before, we're all the same stuff. You know, everybody can walk around here and say, oh, we're all just right with God. Maybe you are. But every once in a while, you have to have something in your heart that you got to get right. You need that forgiveness from God. Turn to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. God will forgive you. You just got to come to Him. Sometimes as a Christian you think, well, He'll forgive me, but you never ask for forgiveness. Listen, if someone does you wrong, it's very hard to forgive somebody if they don't come back and ask for forgiveness, isn't it? If they show no repentance for what they did, it's very difficult to forgive somebody. But if they come up, no matter what they did to you, if they come up and they're in complete repentance and they're sorry and they're crying and they say, I messed up, I'm so sorry for what I did, it is very difficult to not forgive them. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If Thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? That's the truth, isn't it? If the Lord kept track of everything you're doing wrong, just today, man, we'd be in a mess. But verse 4 says this, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. You know, the Lord doesn't put up with iniquity. He doesn't put up with sin. But you know what He does? He's very forgiving. He's very merciful. Man, praise God, He's merciful. How many times have you been in a situation where you're like, man, Lord, you just feel, you know what the Bible says, but you're like, I don't know if the Lord's going to forgive me for this one. I mean, this is the umpteenth time this has happened. I think He's about done with me. The devil will say, you know what? You just might as well give up. You might as well just quit. It's a lost cause. Just forget it. And the Lord still says, come on. And you get down at the feet of Jesus Christ, and what He does, He forgives you. No Christians need to spend more time at. They need to spend more time at the feet of Jesus Christ. They need to ask Him for forgiveness. They need to ask Him for help. And He'll give it. He'll give it. You need to spend more time asking for forgiveness. Another reason you need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ is for healing. Turn to Matthew chapter 4 for healing. There's different kinds of healing. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 9. Excuse me. Give you the wrong verse. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 20. Most of you know this story. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. The Bible says this, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.' But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that hour." You know something? That lady, it says, it had an issue of blood 12 years. It wasn't something she had just got. She'd had it for a long time. And she'd done everything. You find out in other scriptures, you read through the gospel, she spent everything, all her living on that, trying to find a way to get cured. And nothing could cure her. And finally, she just said, "You know what? I can't do this anymore." She just gave up and she went. And when she saw Jesus Christ coming by, she knew that she was not going to be able to get His attention. She thought, "There's too many people around Him. He's not going to pay attention to me. But if I can just touch His garment, if I can get down low, and I can get down there and just touch His garment and get down on her knees and crawl up there as He's going by, and she's going to reach out like that and touch His garment, then I'll be whole." She reaches out there and the Lord says, "Who touched me?" She turns around and she says, "Be of good comfort." You know what you need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ for? You need to come for healing. You know, I don't understand the physical healing part sometimes. I'll just be straight up honest. I don't understand it. I know He does heal people. I've seen Him do it physically. He's healed people. And some people He does not. I don't understand that. The Pentecostals say every time you lay hands on them, they'll be healed. That's not true. I mean, He does heal some people. Some people He does not. I don't understand that. I mean, Grace. I remember when Grace was in the hospital, I prayed for her healing all the time. I pray for the Lord, please heal her, please heal her, please heal her. He didn't heal her because He had something greater in mind. And maybe you're physically suffering tonight, but He's got something greater in mind for you. And maybe He'll heal you. I pray He does. Just like Pastor Chad was preaching this morning. You know, pray for each other. Pray. Don't just talk and do lip service. Pray. But when you pray, maybe God will heal him. Maybe God will put His hand on him. I've seen it happen before. But if He doesn't, he's got something else He wants to do with it. And it's hard to accept, but He's going to do something with it. It wasn't easy for us to let Grace go, but you know what the Lord did? He, at her funeral, I don't know how many lost people were there, and they all heard the gospel. And how many of them came up and told me in tears after the funeral how they appreciated the service. That would have never happened if I preached to them. That would have never happened if they'd been in a church service. That never happened. God used that to try to win other people to Him. He'll heal. He can heal. And you pray for healing. But He doesn't always heal you physically. But we need to pray for each other anyway. Sometimes it's an emotional healing. Sometimes you got that time, you know, sometimes you get that emotional healing where you got hurt. Something happened to you. You know, maybe somebody hurt your feelings. Maybe somebody in the church hurt you. Or maybe you tried to do something for God earlier in life and somebody hurt you and somebody did something wrong to you. And you got that emotional healing and you don't know what to do and you want to do something for God, but you just feel like you don't have any energy anymore. And you feel like, man, I've just been kicked in the face so many times. I just can't do it no more. But God, I want to serve You, but I just don't have it anymore. You know what you need to do? You need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ. Quit looking around at everybody else. And to say, "Lord, I want to serve You. I don't have it. I'm hurting inside." And just come down to His feet and just say, "Lord, I can't do it. Please help me." And He'll heal you. You know, there's been times in my life that I've been hurting inside. You know how some of you know what I'm talking about. You have that zeal inside. You still want to do something for God, but it's just like, you just don't have all the gasoline in there, you know. It's just tired. You're emotionally drained. You're just hurting inside. There's something going on in your life and you just can't get it. You know what you need to do? You need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, just come there. Just get down on your knees and ask Him to help you. It sometimes takes time, but He'll give you the strength to get back up and keep going. And sometimes it's a spiritual healing. You know, I've noticed that I know when I got saved, and I know a lot of other guys I know who got saved, they took off like rockets, man. I mean, you get saved, you find out you're saved, you find out you're not going to hell, you find out that you can tell other people about Jesus Christ. I mean, I know myself, I took off like a rocket. I was a crazy man. I mean, I went and told my family, I went and told everybody, they all thought I was a bunch of crazy, or they thought I was a crazy nut. They're telling me, you know, what's wrong with this guy? I went out and told everybody I could. My wife, she got saved, she took off for the Lord. I mean, she did some things that, I mean, probably looking back now, probably weren't. I mean, I remember some things we used to do that we thought were real spiritual at the time, and the Lord blessed it, but it probably wasn't the smartest thing to do at the time. And took off like a rocket. I mean, I signed up for every ministry I could find. You want me to do that? I'll go do that. Okay, I'll go do that. I'll go do that. I'll go do that. You take off for the Lord, and some of you you're just all full of fire, and you want to go do something, and you keep going, and you try to do something for God, and then eventually what happens is you get wore out. And sometimes you got to come back to the feet of Jesus Christ to remember why you started in the first place. You can get distracted. You can get disarrayed. You can get to a point where you feel like, why am I doing this again? Why am I, you know, why am I at the nursing home today? Right? I wonder how many times Brother Beam, I mean, I know he loves going down there and doing that. I wonder if he ever has that point where he comes down. Some of you go down there and say, you know what, Lord, why am I here today? And the Lord has to remind you why you're there. Why am I passing tracks out? Why did I just make a fool of myself at the gas station? Really, Lord? This guy looked at me like I had two faces. Am I really doing the right thing? You know, my wife was sitting at Walmart or Meijer yesterday, and she's sitting there, and she said she was sitting there, and the kids were all in the bathrooms, and there's another lady in there with all her kids in the bathroom, and you all know that when you take your kids to Meijer, you have to make a bathroom stop, and just that's going to happen. It doesn't matter. You ask them to go before they go in there. You go in there, and I got to go to the bathroom. So you take them in there, and Andrew was in there. And a lady came out, and she's like, oh, yeah. She goes, yeah, my kids had to go to the bathroom. Doesn't it seem like we always have to take them to the bathroom? And Andrew's like, yeah, I know. It seems like we always have to take our kids to the bathroom. And they're sitting there talking. Everything's good. Friendship's going good. Hitting it right off. Andrew pulls out a check and says, hey, I want to give you an invite to my church. Silence. All of a sudden, it was like, oh, thank you. Andrew says, I think I just lost a friend. In those kind of situations in your life, when you get in, you're like, Lord, why am I doing this? You know what you need to do? You need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ and ask Him to heal you spiritually. A wounded spirit, who could bear? You need to come to Him for healing. Turn to Psalm 147. Do you get what I'm saying tonight? I mean, I don't know if I'm registering to you. You know what you need to do, Christian? You need to spend more time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Asking Him. He knows how it's all going to turn out anyway. Psalm 147, look at verse 1. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. And look at verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You ever had someone hurt you? And sometimes, you know, if you're not careful, especially if it's another Christian, you can get bitter at God about it. And it wasn't God at all. We're all sinners, and people do some wicked things, and some people say some rotten things, and some people do some nasty things. But you know what? The Lord didn't do that to you. And whenever you get like that, you know what? I remember one time I was at the house, and it was a good night. We're getting ready to go to bed and everything, and then all of a sudden, as a joke, my wife brought up something that happened a while ago that wasn't even a big deal anymore, but it was something that at the time had made me a little irritated. Brought it up, gone, not even a big deal. She brought it up all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, that was kind of, I wonder why they did that. And also, you know, and you start stewing about it, and it's over, it's done, you know, and you start stewing about it again. We got in bed, I'm laying there in bed, she's sleeping, I'm like, I can't believe he did that. What was he? I mean, I think I was about ready to get out of bed and give him a call. I mean, this is like, you know, long time ago. He would be like, what are you talking about, brother? I mean, it got me all bent out of shape. And you know what you do? You'll get all bent out of shape and stuff and say, man, well, you know what, Lord? You need to get to the feet of Jesus Christ because that's where your focus needs to be anyway. Listen, we help each other. Your brethren have been a blessing to me and you're a blessing to each other. But you know what? Sometimes brethren will let you down, but keep your focus on Jesus Christ and come to His feet. And He'll give you the healing you need to keep going forward. You need to come to His feet of Jesus Christ for healing. You also need to come to His feet for instruction. Turn to Luke chapter 10:39. Chapter 10, verse 39. Luke chapter 10. How many of you are spending time at Jesus' feet? I mean, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are spending time at His feet? How many of you are spending time with the Lord and saying, Lord, I need help? And beseeching. You need to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ for instruction. In Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know why you need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ for instruction? You know, we have decisions we have to make every day, and some of you have some big decisions you have to make. Are you going to attempt to do that without Jesus Christ? Are you going to come to His feet, or are you going to say, no, I got this, I'm going to just keep going with it? You know what you need to do? You need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ for instruction. You know, sometimes it's good to do. I'm glad people in here have a motivation to go do something for God. But you know what you need to do sometimes? You just need to sit and listen to Jesus Christ for a little bit. You need to listen for some instruction. You need to sit there and just say, you know what, Lord? I just want to hear You. Sometimes you know what you need to do? You need to just spend some time. I was talking in the nursing home today. You know, some of the best times, I remember one of the best times, I can picture it. I remember when I had one of the best fellowship times I had with God. And I've had lots of good times with the Lord, but this time I remember particularly. I remember I was sitting in my living room. I was sitting on my couch. My wife and David were just a baby, and they had went up to see her parents, so I was just home by myself. And it was about, I guess it's probably around this time of the day. I mean, the sun was starting to go down, but it was still out. And I was sitting there on the couch, and I remember the curtains were blowing. The breeze was kind of blowing, that spring breeze blowing in. And I was sitting there, and I was reading my Bible. And I remember sitting there, and I was praying about something. Actually, I'll be honest, I was praying about the mission field. I was praying about it, but I didn't, you know, I was reading my Bible, I was reading it here and there, and then I just started thinking. And I wasn't expecting an answer. I was just pondering it, thinking about it, praying about it. And I remember just all of a sudden sitting there, and it's just like, I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't like I heard an audible voice. It wasn't like anything like that. It's just something in my heart just said, and he told me, I'm going to have something to do with that. I don't know. I remember I called Brother Chad right after. That's how big a deal it was. I called him and said, man, you ain't going to believe what happened. He's like, okay, whatever. But he's praying for me. But you know what? Some of you, you need some instruction. I don't care if it's about going to the mission field, if it's about your new, next job move, whether we should move out of the area, whether I should start a new business, whether I should do this at work, whether we should do this or that. You know what you need to do? You need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ for instruction. You know how many times I thought I knew what God wanted me to do and God stopped me? I remember when I got out of the military, I got out. And I remember right after I got out, 9/11 happened. I mean, I'm talking within a month or two after I got out. And I was still in what they call the inactive reserve, which basically means you're not active reserve, but basically you can call up and get back in anytime. And if they really need you, they can call you back up. And 9/11 happened and all this stuff was going on. And I mean, I wanted to go back in and fight. And I remember Brother Chad, he was in the military, so he called me. He says, yeah, they're activating our units. We're doing all this stuff. And I'm sitting there, I mean, if you're a man, you know how that feels, man. It's just like, they're getting ready to go. You're at home. And it just drives you. I'm like, man, I'm going to go back in. I'm going to go back in. And I was just newly saved. And I said, but I'm going to go back in. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go help fight for my country. And I remember all I had to do was pick up that phone and call that recruiter. And within a couple days, I could be in the service. That's how quick it could have happened. And I picked up that phone. And I remember picking it up like this. And I remember just as plain as day, just no. And just the Lord. You know, I don't know how to explain it. It was just that if you make this phone call, you're not right with me. You ever been there? Has God ever said, don't do it. Don't do it. And you know once you do it, once you've done it, you disobey God. And I sat there and I took that phone and I remember, Lord, I want to go in so bad. He's like, No. I remember I slammed that phone down. I was like, why can't I go in? I got all emotional about it. You know what? Today I'm glad I didn't go in. Who knows what happened? I could be dead by now. You don't know. But you know what? You need some instruction from the Lord. You need to learn some things. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You know what some of you do? You need some instruction. You need some instruction in life. Instruction how to go forward. I know people in here are smart. There's some smart people in here. But you still need instruction from the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. Very, very popular verse of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for what? Instruction in righteousness. You know what you need to do? You need to come to the Lord and ask Him for some instruction. You need to come down and say, Lord, I don't know how to go forward here. I pray You help me. And get down on your knees and ask the Lord, Lord, please help me. And He'll give you that instruction. I'm not just talking tonight. I'm not just saying something to fill time. I know what I'm talking about, and I know you need to spend some time with the Lord at His feet. And you need to get some instruction. Some of you are right now, there's a reason Lord has me preaching that somebody in here is about ready to make a decision, and they're going to mess up because they're not going to consult the Lord about it. They're just going to do what they think is right or what the world tells you to do. That world out there does not know what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus Christ does. And He will help you, and He'll tell you to do something that may make completely no sense right now. But later on down the road, you say, you know what, I see what He's doing. I had no idea why He would not let me go in the military. I was so angry. But now I do. And they're sitting right there. That's why. For instruction. There are times in your life when you just need to slow down and sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and listen for instruction. You know how you're going to get burnt out, Christian? You're going to get burnt out if you just keep going forward and forward and butting your head against the wall and keep just charging, and not spending any time at the feet of Jesus Christ waiting for instruction. It's good to be motivated. It's good to go forward. It's good to do something for God and just keep going and trying to do something. I'd rather have you doing that than sitting around doing nothing. But you know what? You have that point where you say, Lord, I need some instruction. I need some time. You need that quiet time with your Bible. When we tell you to read your Bible, it's not just because, hey, that's what our preacher's supposed to preach. It's because you need it. You know as well as I do. If you get up in the morning and you read your Bible and you spend some time with God, as tired as you are, your day will go a little bit better than it does if you sit there and don't read your Bible. And you sit there and you just go forward with it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen that day, but for some reason you handle it better. Because that Word of God gets inside you. And you get that instruction from God. And you'd be surprised at how you read that Scripture. You have no idea how your day is going to unfold. It'll pop back up in your head later that day. You're like, oh, now I see what He's trying to show me. Parents, you realize you're better with your kids if you read your Bible? Your kids ever frustrate you? Mine never do. But maybe there's some of the people here that do. I mean, there's days when I go and I'll come home and I mean, I'm just, you know, and the kids are going crazy. But you know, if you spend some time in the book, you spend some time in prayer, it's amazing how it changes your attitude about things. You just handle things better. I don't know what it is. It's the Word of God. Some of you need to spend some time in it. You know, there's some people that can put on a good show, and they can go. It's almost like just going in a car for so long without very much gas. You can go for a while, but eventually you're going to run out. And eventually it's going to break down. You need to be in the Word. You need to get filled up with that book. You need some instruction. You know, I work at the Lansing Mets, which with Brother Chad, and I work there. And what we do is we process guys that want to go in the military. And they want to go in the military, so they come in and we give them their medical stuff. We do their physical. We do the urinalysis. We do all that stuff like that. And we see all sorts of people come through there. I mean, all sorts of people. I mean, we can tell you stories about people that come through there. You know, but you know what? One thing I noticed the most about a lot of these young guys coming in, they don't know how to follow instruction. They come in there, and I remember you tell a guy, don't do that. And he'll keep, the guy going to wash his hands. I said, don't wash your hands yet. He starts walking toward it. Don't wash your hands yet. He's walking forward. Don't wash your hands yet. He gets in front of it. So how do I turn this thing on? I just told you not to wash your hands. You know what that reminded me of when I was sitting in there? I remember thinking, that's just like a Christian. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. Lord, why is this happening to me? Don't listen to instruction. Somebody needs to spend some time at the feet of God and say, Lord, what do I do? And He'll give you that. You know, some people, I've seen some people that are considered not very smart people by the world, but they have a lot of wisdom because they sit at the feet of God. They know the Lord. And you need to spend some time at His feet for instruction. You need to spend some time at His feet for healing, for forgiveness, for instruction. Also this, you need to spend some time at His feet if you're in distress. Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Spend some time at the feet of God if you're in distress. You ever been in distress? I know I have. John 11. You know the story? John 11, verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how He loved Him. Now you see, they said, Lord, if You'd been here, my brother had not died. And you see, and I've expounded on this before, Jesus wept. It was already too late. It's already done. He's dead. There's nothing you can do about it. But Lord, if You'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And they sit there and she comes to His feet and says, Lord, I wish You'd been here. God, I wish You'd been here. Lord, if You'd been here, he wouldn't have died. If I just wish You would have been here. I know You have a reason for what You're doing. I know You're doing what You think is best. But Lord, if He'd just been here, He wouldn't have died. Just weeping. And you know, sometimes as a Christian, you get this attitude about God. Like He's like, well, yeah, I'm here. And yeah, I'll heal Him. I'll do this. And He's just kind of this cold-hearted person. You ever listen to Him on the radio when they try to play, or like on the radio hear someone talking? Like, He's just kind of like this this guy that has like no emotion. He just talks like, yes, sir. I don't know. I'm going to make a fool of myself. I try to make His voice. But what I'm saying is, you know, He doesn't have a lot of personality when people, you know what, Jesus Christ, He had a lot of personality. You know what He does when He sees her? He doesn't sit there and say, well, where's your faith, woman? I can do what I want. I can do whatever I need to do. I can perform whatever miracle I need to perform. He doesn't do that. Because He groaned. And it says, Jesus wept. It's too late now. He cried. Even though He knew what He was going to do, He cried. Why? Not because He didn't say, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to raise Him from the dead. He cried because Mary and Martha were weeping. Now, if you get a hold of that and realize that when you're hurting, even when it seems like it's too late, God can still do something. And also realize this, that God isn't just this person that just kind of goes about His business and does things one, two, three. God has emotions. Where do you think you get your emotions from? That's that for an evolutionist, you know? Where does love come from? Where does hate come from? Can't explain that. It's because it comes from God. But His feelings are balanced. They're holy. We're sinful creatures, so sometimes you're angry when you're not supposed to be angry. Sometimes you're happy when you're not. You know how that all goes. But He cared. And when you get in that position where you come to His feet and you say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm in distress. Lord, I need You. He doesn't say, where is your faith? He weeps with you. Even though He knows what He's going to do. And you find out over here, reading, look it over, verse 40. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. And I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Lazarus has already been dead. And Jesus Christ rose him from the dead. You know what that tells me? That tells me even when you think it's too late to fix the problem, God can still fix it. He's the creator of the universe. You keep praying. You keep asking God. Now, I'm not saying if someone passes away that you pray God will raise him. I'm saying, you know, you got situations where you say, Lord, it's too much. You know how many times you say, I need this prayer answered by April 29th or it's over. I don't know how many times I said, Lord, if you don't pay this bill by this day, I'm done. And that day comes, no, nothing happens. You know what? I'm not done. April 30th comes and just keep going. Somehow you keep going. And then what God does, he just kind of all of a sudden, when he's ready, he takes care. Some of you need to spend some time at the feet of Jesus Christ when you're in distress. Sometimes you got those moments, and like I've told you before, you got those moments in your life where you got those things going on in your heart and your mind that if you went up to somebody in church and tried to tell them about what you were feeling, they'd look at you like you're a weirdo. They'd be like, what? Or even if you're trying to pour your heart out to somebody, maybe even your best friend, and they'd look at you like, oh, I'm not sure where you're coming from. But Jesus Christ knows where you're coming from. He created you. And you need to get down at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know, I don't mean to talk about grace so much. I don't want to seem unbalanced. But I remember after she died, it was like, you know, the first couple days, it's like shock. And you don't understand. You know, just, what's going on? And I remember the day when it finally hit me what had happened. And I remember I went in the bedroom and I shut the door. And I wanted to see her so bad. But I was afraid to look at her picture. You know, have you ever been there? I mean, just... you want to see him again so bad, but you just, I don't know if I look at the picture. And I remember I finally, you know, took some pictures out of my phone and I started looking at him. And I remember the anguish inside where it finally hit me that I wasn't going to be able to hold her anymore. And it was just, I mean, it's just, I don't know how to explain it. It just feels like someone's just crushing you in something. You just, it's just like, I've never felt that way in my entire life. It's just like, there's nothing to grab onto. You're just there. And I remember I got down on the floor and I begged God. I said, Lord, I can't go another day. I'm done. I'm done. And I remember thinking, there's nothing you can do right now, Lord, that will make me feel better. You ever been there? There's nothing, God, you can do or say that's going to make me feel better at this moment. And I got down there and I started pleading with God. And I don't know to this day how he does it. But he gave me peace. And I got back up and walked back out of that bedroom, and I was better. Some of you, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's in here. But you need to get down to the feet of Jesus Christ and spend some time with him. Who else can you pour your heart out to that will understand you? Christian, don't go off and make a mistake. Don't go off and just do something crazy. Get down at the feet of Jesus Christ and ask him, Lord, what should I do? And get down. He knows that pain. He feels it. He knows what you're going through. Turn to Psalm 107, if you would. I know I keep flipping back to the Psalms. You know what they call the Psalms? They call the Psalms kind of the hospital of the Bible. If you ever are feeling down or something, go through the Psalms. Lord will help you out in that. But in Psalm 107, verse 1, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Give me a minute to get there. "For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." Ever been there? "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Look over at verse 13. Same thing. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." And if you continue on through that psalm, look over to verse 25. It says, "For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down against the depths. Their souls melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." You know what, the Lord, you need to do is spend some time at his feet. And he'll help you in your distress. Somebody in here needs that. Somebody in here needs to come to the feet of Jesus Christ. Somebody in here, he knows you need him. And you need to come to him. You need to come to his feet. You know, I don't know how many times I've seen prayer answered when you're in distress. Some of it's mild distress. Some of it's really extreme distress. In one case, kind of mild distress, I remember... when I was in North Carolina, I remember Brother Chad giving me a call, and he was trying to get down to Pensacola from Camp Lejeune. And he called me, or he told me about it, and he said what he did is he had already accepted orders to stay at Camp Lejeune, be extended there. But then he realized he wanted to go to Bible college down there. So he said, man, maybe I can get my orders changed. It's very difficult to do. It's hard to do. But he called his detailer up, and he called his detailer, and Brother Chang, correct me after I'm done. But what he did is he basically called the detailer up and said, I want, is it possible to get orders down to Pensacola? And the detailer started chewing him out. He said, son, I don't know what you're thinking. You know, I'm tired of you young guys calling, wanting to change your orders the last minute. There is no way you're getting Pensacola, Florida. Just forget it. It ain't happening. It ain't going to happen. And Chad's like, well, he didn't know what to say. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, hang on a sec. I got another call. I'll be right back with you. Clicked off. So Chad's sitting there on hold. He just got chewed out. He's like, well, Lord, I wanted to go to Bible college here. I thought you were going to open the door. He started praying. He's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I just start praying. A couple minutes later, the detailer gets back on there. Well, it's your lucky day. Somebody just called and said that they're not going to Pensacola. Quinky dink, right? You can get orders to Pensacola. That's why he went to Bible college. You know, it doesn't have to be an extreme distress. If you just pray and get to the feet of Jesus Christ, you'd be amazed at what he can do. You say, well, I don't think the Lord will do it. Why don't you try it? You know why some of you don't see anything happening in your life? Because you're not spending any time at the feet of Jesus Christ. You're just going through life. You might say a prayer here or a prayer there, and you're like, well, I just hope this, you know, Lord, please help this work out. Please help this go. Man, Lord, nothing's happening. And you need to get down to the feet of Jesus Christ. Be amazed. If this whole church, everybody in here got down on their feet or on their knees and prayed and got to the feet of Jesus Christ, it'd be amazing what God would do. I mean, I could just imagine what he'd do. I know there's a couple people in here praying now. I know, I'm sure there's people in here who are not praying like they should. And if everybody just got down at the feet of Jesus Christ, it'd be amazing what God could do. You ever seen what God can do now, right? See what he's doing here? Imagine if everybody started praying. You know what they did when Paul and them were praying and they were singing praises to God in the jail? He started an earthquake. Wouldn't that be something? Well, talk about shaking people up, man. He's sitting here and God just gets excited, starts doing something. You know what you need to do? You need to come to God. You need to come to the feet of God. The feet of Jesus Christ in your distress. If you have distress tonight, I'm telling you, come to his feet. Don't come to me. I don't have the answers. Don't come to Brother Chad. He ain't going to have the answers either. Maybe your best friend or the wisest person you know, they'll say what they want to say, but the fact of the matter is you need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ. Come to the feet of Jesus Christ. Finally this. You need to come to the feet of Jesus Christ for thanks. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Not keeping you all a whole lot tonight. A little something to chew on. But what I want to get through to you is I want this church to spend more time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Not just for the church, but for yourself. And for your worship and your walk with God. Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 16. Luke chapter 17, verse 16. So I will start verse 12. The Bible says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers that stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You know what you need to go down and the feet of Jesus Christ for is you need to thank him. You know, there's a lot of crazy things going on in America now, and things aren't like they used to be. We'll just have to say it. They're just not like how they used to be. Things are changing at a rapid pace. But you know what? We also got it real good. Last night I was out. I mowed my lawn for the first time this year. It's really weird to mow your lawn when it's like 40 degrees out. But the grass was really high. So I'm sitting there with a jacket mowing the lawn. And it turned into a pretty pleasant evening. The sun came out. It was a nice evening. And I was sitting there, and I got done mowing the lawn. And I was putting stuff away, and I was looking at the lawn. I was like, oh, the lawn looks pretty good. And the kids were out running around, and they were running around the yard. And I remember when I was finishing up the last bit of the lawn, you know, the kids chasing the lawnmower, running around, you know, thinking it's fun, and running around. I parked the lawnmower, and Andrea got home, and she had some groceries, and she went in the house, and she was cooking dinner. And I could see her in the window there. She's joking with Rebecca and stuff, and they're in there laughing, and the kids are running around the yard, and I remember looking over, and I mean, it was just like a perfect scene. I mean, my dog was being good. It was laying over there on the driveway. It wasn't chasing a raccoon or neighbors or anything. It was just laying there on the driveway like it's supposed to be, just looking at me, panting away. And I'm looking around, and it's just beautiful, and the sun's coming through the trees and the picket fence over there. I was just like, wow. I just sat there for a moment, and maybe I'm weird, you know, but I just sit there, and I just thought, man, this is nice.
And I remember thinking, thank you, Lord. You know, it's been a tough year, but you know what? I got it pretty good. Thank you. Thank you, God, that I'm not in prison right now. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't go off and ruin my life. Thank you for saving me and giving me a purpose. Thank you, Lord, because I have a house here and 2.5 acres, and I have my family running around it, my dog running around, and my wife in there joking with my daughter cooking dinner. Thank you, Lord. When's the last time you thanked me? You know? And the Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied. Well, if I just have this, I'll be all right. No, you want the next thing. You ever just said, you know, Lord, thank you. Got food on my table, got shoes on my feet, got a roof over my head. Stay warm tonight. My kids are doing good. They're running around. And, you know, you may have problems, and we all do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this moment right now. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not in a concentration camp. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not in boot camp. Thank you, I'm not in Iraq. Thank you that I'm sitting here looking at my family. Thank you, Lord, for taking that time on May 28th, year 2000, and saving my soul. I thanked him. Christian, how much time have you spent at the feet of Jesus Christ? That's quiet here, man. I feel like I'm preaching in a library. I think the nursing home was louder than here. When's the last time you preached, or when's the last time you got down and asked Jesus Christ, got down to his feet, and talked to him about some things in your life? I guarantee if you do that, he'll be surprised at what he'll do for you. If anything, he'll give you strength to keep going forward. Some of you need it bad. I'm not saying it because I know you personally. I'm just saying, I just know some of you need to get down and spend some time with God. I'm not saying get down and say the holy prayer. No, oh, Lord in heaven. No, what he wants you to do, he wants you to be real with him. Just be real with him. And say, Lord, you know, and get down and talk to him. Spend some time with him at his feet. No matter what you're going through, ask him. Ask him to help you. You know what you need to do? You need to thank him. One more verse and I'm done. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This is what Paul said you should be doing. The Bible says in verse 1, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as to your children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Give some thanks to God. Look over at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you need to do? You need to spend some time and thank God. I wish you could have been at the nursing home today. I was real proud of my kids. They got up and they, I'm going to brag on them a little bit. They got up and they quoted several verses, and then they went and they sang, I just want to thank you, Lord. You know, and they did a good job. And I remember, I was just sitting there, I was proud of Papa. Sitting there and they're singing, I'm like looking around, it's my kids. You know? They know a lot of Bible verses, yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at them, and I was proud of them. I said, I just want to thank you, Lord. You need to do, you need to thank God. Thank God for this church. You know what you need to do? You spend some time with God at his feet. You know, this world is tough sometimes, right? Sometimes the day drags. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you're hurting. Sometimes there's so much going on in your life. But you know what God wants you to do? If you're just Christian, just listen to me. If you forget the whole message, if you've just zoned out and you're just coming back before we close, I want you to get this, okay? What I want you to get this is spend some time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Just do it this week and see how your week goes. And come back and tell me about it. You'd be surprised. You say, oh, I'll spend some time. You know what? But we get busy. Get things going. Take some time. Just take a risk for God. Just get down and just say, I'm going to spend some time and just talk to the Lord a little bit. Go out and talk to God in your yard. Walk around at night. Talk to him. Get close to him. Get to the feet of God and say, you know what, Lord? and talk to him and pour your heart out to him. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to be like the people in this Bible. You're going to walk with God. Get to the feet of God. I'm going to have everybody with bow their heads, eyes closed. I'm going to have Brother Rob just come up and